This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Krebs to the right, and Quinn on the other side. Quinn back to Power. 7 seconds to go in the power play, 14 in the period. Power shot scores! Alex Tuck was in front of the net, and the Sabres in overtime with a power play goal win the St. Patrick's Day showdown 3-2.
Yeah, I think you're going to see Alex Tuck gets a piece of this one as it's thrown to the net.
Yes, he does. Alex Tuck deflects it home. Now the Sabres pick up a 3-2 overtime win to snap their winless skid on the road away from KeyBank Center. Tuck's 26, the difference maker, and that is our goal of the game tonight, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. So a 3-2 Sabres win. They get a power play late in the overtime and convert late with just 13 seconds left on the clock. Both teams had opportunities to score in the overtime. In fact, the Sabres hit the post twice. Tuck hit it. Dahlin hit it. Boston had some good chances of their own, but a penalty late in the OT gives Buffalo a 4-on-3 situation, and they take advantage of it and win it there. All right, Paul Hamilton in just one moment, but our final stats brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots in the overtime. The Sabres had 6 in the OT. That's more than Boston had in the second period and the third period and the overtime. They had 4, 5, and 2 in those periods alone. It finishes 30-19 in favor of Buffalo. Luukkonen gets the win, 17 saves. Korpisalo the loss, 27 saves in this one. And the power play coming through for Buffalo. 2 goals on 3 attempts. They're 2 of 3. And the Bruins, 0 of 3, including a 5-on-3 they weren't able to convert on. So special teams tonight's coming through big for the Sabres. That's your DynaBray.com power play update powered by DynaBray Tools. Proudly made here in Buffalo. On a night where the Sabres had 3 key injuries up front up with offense. No Kulik, no Norris, no Paterka. And the Sabres able to get it done playing with a put-together lineup, some call-ups from Rochester, and a nice win in Boston here. That's our injury report brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at St. Joseph Campus. All right, let's get Paul Hamilton in here now. And Paul, the OT was the most entertaining portion of the hockey game. Both teams had multiple opportunities to finish it, but ultimately Tuck gets it done.
Yeah, and this game, as I mentioned earlier, kind of lulled for a while, and I didn't think, I thought Buffalo was competing well in the defensive end, but I didn't think in the offensive end they were winning too many battles. And then get to the third period, I thought, all right, they appear to be, And then the overtime on the power play, and one of the things we talked about earlier in the year when the power play wasn't doing well is the Sabres just were not winning battles. It's as simple as that. And I think in the 4-on-3 power play, I think they won every single battle. That was the first thing I noticed, is they were on top of it.
They were hustling. They were getting to pucks. Right away, it looked like Boston had the puck and was going to take it down ice, and McLeod just took it back. And then Buffalo had sustained pressure, you know, throughout that power play, and they used pretty much the whole power play. I mean, the penalty was at 2:51 of overtime, and Buffalo scored with 10.7 seconds left in the overtime. So, I mean, they used almost the whole clock, but it was Corpusalo standing on his head. It wasn't from lack of opportunities. He was making great saves. You know, Tuck hit a post. Dahlin hit a post. And he was making great saves along the way. Buffalo had the chances, and they were producing chances, but, you know, couldn't get it. But they stayed patient, and then Tuck does what he does. He got in the way, you know. He got in front of the net, took Corpusalo pretty much out of the play, where he's not going to be able to make that save, tips the puck in, and you get a power play goal, and you win the hockey game. So, and both goaltenders, before the penalty, Lukanen made some phenomenal saves. Corpusalo made some, I mean, it was breakaway, two-on-one, wide-open shots. I mean, these weren't just pedestrian saves. They were making phenomenal saves throughout that overtime. Lukanen made two saves. I bet if we went back, I think they both were probably grade-A scoring chances that he had to stop, and Corpusalo was doing the same at the other end.
Yeah, I would agree. It was entertaining stuff for sure. Paul, the power play ends up coming through, but for the 4-on-3, and I don't know, maybe if there, you know, a different mentality. Seth Appert had a very animated timeout where he's going through what he wants them to do on the power play, but I thought their power play looked much better in regulation. I don't know if the 5-on-4 versus 4-on-3 strategy changed from Seth Appert, but they didn't move as much. They didn't pass it as quickly in that OT session there as they did, I thought, in regulation when I thought it looked better.
They got some chances. I mean, Dahlin hit a one-timer that Corpusalo had to stop. Dahlin hit the post. They had the puck in the zone almost the whole time. You know, I think at times maybe they were just waiting for the right play to set up for them. Moving it around, but I didn't have too much problem with it. I thought, you know, Corpusalo was pretty much the difference, you know, once Buffalo got the puck, and they had it in the zone. I think they got it out one time. Zadorov came down the left wing, and Buffalo got it back and then got right back in the zone again. And if I'm not mistaken, that might have been the only time Boston got the puck out of the zone in the whole power play. And as I mentioned, I think it was 2 seconds from being a full two-minute power play, because 2:51 to 4:49. So it was about 2 seconds Buffalo had left in that power play. So they used all the time, but it doesn't matter. If you go 1:58 and score, who cares? You get a power play goal. And they had two of those in this game, two power play goals.
That's right. Yeah, the other one coming from Krebs that opened the scoring back in the first period of play. Paul Lukanen, we know lately, we've been dissecting his play, that he has not been as consistent as he had last year. But in the third and in the overtime, he came through. He made that nice save on Lindholm with about 5 minutes to go. And then, you know, you mentioned some of the chances in overtime that Boston had. So for Lukanen tonight, I think you got to give him a decent grade here on the win.
Yeah, the breakaway on Geeky, the goal there, I know sometimes I say you need a big save to help him out on a breakaway. And I've been looking at that goal more than a few times, and it looked like Geeky went to shoot it and, like, missed the puck and then shot it again. And I think that put Lukanen down is the first one. And Geeky was trying to shoot the puck, but I think his stick went over the top of it. But the puck kept coming with him, so he kept control of it. And by that time, he was by Lukanen for the goal. So I'm not sure I would sit there and say, well, you need a big save there. I guess what I'm saying is I understand what Lukanen was doing there. And I think Geeky didn't mean to do that. It just, you know, because he had a guy, Samuelson was right on his tail, you know, trying to bother him. And right. I think his first move, if you watch it again, looked like it went over the puck. And then the puck just kept going with him, and he was able to put it by Lukanen. So I don't think I'd jump on him for that goal.
Sabres win it in overtime by a 3-2 margin. Alex Tuck's game winner at 4:47 is the difference in this one, as the Sabres win on the road. Paul, winning on the road. How meaningful is that here? They haven't done it in 8 tries before that.
Yeah, and I said win a period. Well, they didn't lose the period. They didn't win it. but they won the hockey game. They won the overtime. So it doesn't matter if you win the third period or win the overtime. You still win the hockey game, and you're in a position now. It doesn't matter if the Bruins get points or not. So, you know, so what if they get 1 point? I mean, if you were in a playoff race and right with them, you're kind of kicking yourself if you give Boston a point, even if you get two. But, you know, it's a good win for them. Now, you know, they only have that one bad Detroit game in there. They have a really good win over Edmonton, a really good win over Vegas. I wouldn't say they were great in this game, but defensively, they were good in their own end, but they weren't good with awareness. Three guys got behind them. One wound up scoring, and Luukkonen had to make a big save on Pasternak on another, and the other Bruins missed the pass. That I didn't like, but once the Bruins got in the zone, I thought the Sabres defended pretty well. They only allowed 19 shots, you know, four in the second period, five. They only allowed 11 in the last two periods in overtime in the last 45 minutes. So they're doing something right for sure. You know, I think they were killing plays. It was just they were just so unaware on those plays that Boston was able to spring guys. And maybe I'm being picky there, but there were three of them. That was the problem. And they did get burned on one of them, but it doesn't matter because, as I said, you come out with a win, and now you know you can win on the road. After eight tries, you didn't. I always say eight-game losing streak. The right way would say eight-game winless streak because they were 0-7-1, but they did lose all eight games. So however you want to put it,
they've won. I'll say it with you.
Yeah, they've won three out of four now. And right. They had to kind of gut out a win here. They had to gut out a win against Edmonton and Vegas when I think they outplayed both teams. And this one, you had three key offensive players out of the game that you mentioned, which is probably one of the reasons why I didn't like them in the offensive zone in some of this game because, you know, these are your better offensive players, Peterka and Norris and Kulik, that are out of the game, and they still found a way to win the hockey game.
3-2, the final.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, I believe now the Sabres are, they've won 3 of the 4 since the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. They had the win against Vegas, obviously, in their last outing, the win here tonight against Boston, the loss in Detroit, and then the win against the Oilers. Is that 3 out of 4 since the trade deadline?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, no, the Florida game. Was the Florida game after the trade deadline, right?
They've won 3 of their last 4. They beat the Oilers. They lost Detroit, and then they beat Vegas, and now they've beaten Boston. So
they're 3 of their last 4, but 3-2, I guess, since the trade deadline. Yeah.
So they've won 3 of their last 4, but the tests are going to get harder against Utah, and then harder against Minnesota, and then really hard in Winnipeg. Winnipeg, one of the best teams in the National Hockey League right now. So it's going to get a little bit harder for them, which is fine. It should get harder. I mean, learn how to play hockey against the better teams. And you have played good hockey against 2 very good teams at home, but you have not been playing good hockey on the road until now, until this game. And, go play good hockey against a good team on the road and, try that on for a little bit.
For those that are hoping the Sabres exit the basement where they have been since December, they are closing in on Philadelphia. The Flyers didn't even score tonight. They got shut out in Tampa. So the Sabres are within 4 points now. Philly has 64. Buffalo has 60. And the Sabres have 3 games in hand on Philadelphia. So, Paul, for those that want a little light at the end of the tunnel here, maybe it's coming. Maybe at some point over the next week here, we'll see the Sabres pass Philly.
And they still play the Flyers. That's in the next week that they wind up in Philadelphia, back-to-back afternoon games against Philadelphia and Washington on Saturday and Sunday to close out the month.
Yeah. So next is Utah, and then you mentioned this weekend, tough games with Minnesota and Winnipeg. But Thursday night, 9 o'clock, face-off in Utah, pregame at 8. Paul and I will be with you then. Paul, thank you so much for your work tonight. Appreciate it. And we will talk on Thursday.
Sounds good. Talk to you then.
Okay, great. Paul Hamilton with us here on the postgame. Sabres snap their road winless streak. It was 0-7-1 coming in, and they get the OT win tonight courtesy of Alex Tuch with his 26th goal of the season. Well, a big part of tonight also was Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen here as we get to our save of the game. It's brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. A lot of odd man rushes for Boston in this game, including this one, one of Luukkonen's 17 saves on the night.
Trying to send that to the net, but it popped up into the air. Now he's got to get back and defend. Here is the Bruins hit Pastrnak. He's in behind the defense. Save made by Luukkonen. Wants to keep the play going.
That one from the second period tonight as the Sabres end up getting 17 saves from Luukkonen in the victory. Hey, send us your tweets here. After we get to the scoreboard, we're going to read them as we'll get connected with our fans powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. But before we read those tweets, you can send them to me at BrianWGR on your thoughts on this win here. Let's go ahead and check the scoreboard from around the rest of the NHL. It's brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. All right, elsewhere, I mentioned that Philadelphia was shut out tonight in Tampa. The Lightning win there 2-1. Kucherov scoring the game winner, and Gensel into the empty net. So it was really a 1-0 win there for Tampa with an empty. New Jersey wins in Columbus 2-1. The Blue Jackets, again, holding down, are trying to hold down their one of their spots in the wild card race. As of this moment, they are 2 back, or they're in the race. They're 2 back of the Rangers for the final playoff spot, but New Jersey picks up a 2-1 victory. There's 7 minutes to go up in Toronto, and it's all Maple Leafs. Of course, they're wearing their green and white St. Pat's jerseys that just look amazing. Let's see, goals tonight. Matthews has 2 of the 6. He's now up to 26 on the season. Nylander is 38th. Toronto rolling against Calgary right now, 6-1. Early third period in Minnesota. If you want to do some pre-scouting, want to go watch the third period, the Sabres play in Minnesota Saturday. The Kings and the Wild are tied at one. All right. There's your look around the scores. What does that mean for the standings? Well, again, Buffalo gets their 60th point of the season with the win, 27-33-6, four behind Philadelphia, six behind Pittsburgh. Buffalo has three games in hand on both of those teams, the Flyers and the Penguins, as the Sabres have played 66 games, where the Flyers and the Penguins have played 69. Still 12 points out of the playoff spot. It seems as though it has been like 10, 11, and 12 for, I want to feel like, 2 months straight now. The Sabres, you know, they lose a few, they win a few. The top teams there in the wild card kind of bounce back and forth. It seems as though it's always been somewhere between like 10 and 12. And it's back to 12 here, which again just shows how tall the task was here coming in to start with. Just, you know, really, really tough. And, you know, obviously maybe the Sabres may pass some teams here, but, you know, getting all the way to wild card two, we know, is going to be very, very, very difficult. However, let's just, you know, TJ, let's have a little fun here. Sabre, I know how much you love fun here.
Big
66
fun
games. That's right. 66 games. So that means they have 16 left, right? 16 left. So that's a possible 32 points. Let's just say they go 16-0. You want it, TJ? What are the odds on that? Don't answer that. 16-0.
They can't be good.
Very good. Yes. If they go 16-0, that would give them 32 more points plus the 60 that they have. So that would put them at 92. All right. Now, on the air here, I'm going to do some quick math. What are the Rangers on pace for, who are currently sitting in wildcard spot number two? Let's see. The Rangers have 72 points out of 68 games. So 68 games, that is a possible 136 points. So 72 out of 136 is a 529 points percentage over the season, which is a possible 164 points, 82 games times two each. They're on pace for 87 points. So if the Sabres go 16-0, oh my goodness, plenty of room to spare. Now, let's just say they go, okay, so let's see, to get to 87 points, what would the Sabres need to go? 13, 13 would give you 26 more. That's 86. 13, 1 and 2. You had it. Gives you to 88 to pass their 87.
14, 1 and 1 if you really need that extra.
Yeah, 14-1-1 or 13-1-2.
Sure.
If you feel like you want, if you want to live on the edge.
Right, right, right,
right, right.
Of course.
Yeah. So the Rangers are currently sitting in wild card two, and they are on pace for 87. I mean, just TJ, the door was so open this year. Boston
it was,
is down.
And I think
the Rangers are down.
We were saying that all along. How
right.
It did seem like any team in the Eastern Conference didn't want to grab the bull by the horns. And frankly, they still haven't. The Senators are really the only team that's clear, far away and above this swath of teams fighting for that second wild card spot. It's really quite something.
Yeah.
And you could have been one of those eight or nine teams there.
And just don't be terrible during that 13-game winless skid. Like, out of that 13 games, like, let's just even say you went 4-9, right? I mean, that you could have just 4-9 is terrible.
You're at 68 points, Brian.
That would give you 68 right now. Yeah, you'd be four back with games in hand. Yeah.
Now, what's okay to really play into what you're talking about with how nobody really wants to take that step? I mean, I'm not even going to go there, but it's just really crazy how they're not. You look at it with the amount of games left, and they're not totally out of it, and you're just sitting here thinking, what do you do to get them over that hump that they've been at for I don't know how long?
Yeah. I mean, it's as we sit here and spin it, you could say, well, they're not that far away. But they've been in last since December and haven't budged.
Which is even crazier.
That right.
They're not that far away, and yet they've been in the same place. I think that Paul talks about that all the time, how, you know, you can go on your streaks, but there's all the other teams you got to jump, and that's where they're at.
Right. Yeah. Yes, and you're going to go on, you're going to win 4 out of 5, and you're going to gain on Philly and the Islanders and Columbus. But in the midst of that, one of those teams, because there's like 8 of them above you, just went 6-0. Like Detroit goes 6-0. Well, you lost ground on them. So you're actually farther away than where you started. Like that's the thing, is you can have a good streak where maybe you win 4 out of 5, but somebody in there went 5-0, even though maybe you gained on Philly and Pittsburgh and New York, the Islander, you know what I mean? Like, but in the end, you still might be farther away because you have to gain on all of them, and that's what makes it so tough. And that is what will make this offseason very interesting. Still, people, I will always come up to me, is Kevin Adams going to be the GM after this year? Like, if the standings would say he should not, and the fact that he's had it for 4 now full seasons should say no. I mean, what NHL GM lasts this long without making the postseason beyond the fact that they finished last multiple times during his time here? So, like, that just, you know. All right, here we go. Good transition here. Let's get connected with our fans here, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Send me your thoughts after each and every game at BrianWGR. All right, here we go. I got 2 spins on this, TJ. I'll let you comment. I'll read them both. Grizzly Adams X says, these past 2 games have been so much fun, they make me want to delete some of the tweets calling for GMKA's job, with a smiley face. Kimberly says, this team is so hot and cold. They have moments of greatness and then they crash. What needs to change? Is it Kevin Adams? Okay. So 2 tweets there. I don't know if they're complimentary or not of the GM, but mostly maybe not. But I think they're both right. I don't know. It's definitely a contrast in styles, or definitely a contrast in tweets here. One wants to say, pull him back, but what needs to change? I mean, I got to think the only way a coaching change happens is if Lindy just wants to step aside. I don't think that there's any call or any desire from the GM nor the owner to fire Lindy Ruff. Again, would it be warranted? Sure. Your team finished dead last in the East. Like, NHL coaches can get fired after a season like that. But I don't think it's going to happen, especially with Lindy's track record here. He's not a rookie head coach. Like, so I'm going to guess, unless he wants to step aside, either retire or pass the torch, or just said, hey, I'm mentally spent here, I'm this age here, that's enough. He may, you know, so I'm expecting him to be back. Now, the GM, it's, to me, it's, I mean, the ball's in Terry Pegula's court here. What does he want to do? Does he want someone to come in? I mean, how long have we said they need a president or a director of hockey operations to oversee everything? Do they need a new GM? Do they need more scouts? Do they need all these sort of things looked at and dissected and decide? The Sabres have not hired a GM with GM experience for a long time. It's always been a first-timer. So that obviously is another layer here, and Adams would obviously fit that bill as well. So, yeah, I think that's going to be curious to see here what the Sabres owner does. My prediction is he won't change the GM. And I think it's warranted to do so, but I think he won't. For a variety of reasons, and you could probably guess the variety of them all.
I was going to say, what would give anybody the impression that this GM is going to be fired, that this coach and GM are going to change? The coach, I think you're right. I think the coach would change only if Lindy wants out. If you as an organization want to change the coach, this is Kevin Adams' second coach technically, since he didn't hire Kruger. So, I mean, your GM is going to be hiring his third coach. I mean, just rip the Band-Aid off on the whole thing, I think, but that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, and Pegula likes the relationship he has with Adams, that there's not, he's not going to say no. You know, that's part of the reason Kevin Adams is attracted to him right now. So, and I'm not saying that you don't want the owner and the GM to have a good relationship. You'd want them to, but,
kind of wish they had a good relationship and he was able to also say more than yes, or to him.
Yes.
That would be nice.
Yeah. So I agree with that. I think most people would agree with that too. I mean, if you look at the trades that Kevin Adams has made, now the Eichel trade, you could say maybe he was forced into it based upon how the organization handled it. Pagula, you know, we all have heard, had a strong voice in saying that he wanted Eichel out. So, I mean, that was something that maybe was tough. But what did Adams have to really do? Well, he had to trade Eichel. The Reinhardt thing, Reinhardt basically, again, made the move himself by saying, I'm not re-signing with the Sabres. So you have to trade him to get something. Ultimately, until Devon Levi, you know, I guess comes to fruition to see what his NHL career is, I guess we can still say at the moment, definitely Florida won the trade. I mean, they got a 50-goal scorer. But, you know, ultimately, if Levi turns out to be amazing, then we could say, well, you got something valuable back. I think Alex Tuch was a very, very valuable piece in that trade. I think Peyton Krebs has underwhelmed, especially offensively. I thought he was supposed to be this big-time playmaker and offensive skilled passer, and he shows it, but I just don't think he shows it enough. And he's turned more into kind of a scrappier role here on this team, but I still think offensively, in terms of what potentially we were supposed to be getting with Krebs, you still think that trade didn't work out. But, you know, Byram for Mittelstadt, looks like he won that trade. Who knows how this Norris for Cousins trade is going to work itself out. There's obviously, you know, other deals here in the offseason. The McLeod trade, looks like he definitely won on that one. And we don't know what Savoy's going to do, but it doesn't matter. You wanted to get a player that immediately could have an impact versus maybe a player that you're unsure of that might be years down the road. So I think you check the box on that trade. So I don't have a huge issue with the actual trades that Adams made. Now, are there other trades that maybe we don't know about that he hasn't pulled the trigger on or hasn't gotten done? Well, you know, that obviously we wouldn't know all the details on that, but that's probably something that you could argue in his column against him. To me, the biggest argument for me is that when this team has needed something of a change, they were begging for one during that 13-game winless streak. He didn't really do anything. In fact, well, he didn't do anything. So, you know, to me, that's the time where I feel like Kevin Adams was on the hook for being taken for blame there, that, you know, and there's no accountability, obviously. He's still the GM. Why do I think he's going to be the GM next year? Well, if you were going to fire him at the end of the season, why would you have let him made, what, five transactions here at the trade deadline? A new contract with Greenway, a new contract with Zucker. Again, I'm not saying these are bad. I'm just saying he did two contract negotiations.
The signs are there, Ryan, that he will not be going anywhere.
Traded, yeah. I mean, three trades and two new contracts that you just let Kevin Adams do. If you're going to let him go at the end of the season, you wouldn't have let him handle any of that. So that's why, to me, that's the biggest sign that he's coming back. One more tweet here. Oh, Grizzly wants to reply here. All kidding aside, I don't know what needs to change. We've done it all. I've enjoyed this team when they played well this year. Super fun, but at times they were lacking. Tara Pagula doesn't want to pay another coach and another GM not to work either. Then he says, sigh. Yep, Grizzly, I agree. Thanks for chiming in. A couple of good tweets from you tonight. Appreciate it. All right, we'll read another one here. Pat and Sabres, at Buffalo Sabres 7 says, the more I think about it, the more I don't believe Byram will be on the team next year. I think Byram, for the most part, has been, I think he's been better than Mittelstadt. So head-to-head in that trade, I think the Sabres won. Byram, when he was with Dahlin, at times looks like the best defenseman on this team. And then there's times where he's not with Dahlin that he looks lost and looks kind of like some of the other defensemen on this team. But I still think that I wouldn't be in any thought to try to get rid of him. I think that's something that obviously, you know, contract-wise, again, they're going to have to talk about. Paul Hamilton asked him a few weeks ago about the future, and Byram said he's not thinking about that right now. So maybe that'll be something into the offseason that Kevin Adams will have to deal with, if he's still, again, making the decisions, is what to do with Bo Byram. Could you give another long-term extension? Ideally, if I could make the decision here, it would be to ship out Matias Samuelsson. He's not making a ton. It's $4 million, but it's the length of the contract. Remember last year, the seven-year contract extension. Could someone take that on, and then you could slide Byram? You know, you can go back to Byram and say, okay, let's offer you, what, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. Obviously, it's maybe going to be more than $4 million, but maybe not too much more to clear up maybe that room, so you don't have so many defensemen that are committed long-term. You obviously already have Dahlin and Power maxed out with their contract length, too. All right, thanks for the tweets. Appreciate it again. As we get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, get to your local Verizon store today. 3-2 Sabres win in overtime. Tucks the game winner at 4:47 of the OT. And Buffalo will be back at it on Thursday at Utah at 9 p.m. All right, with that, we are going to wrap up postgame and say goodbye to all of our local affiliates. We'll talk again on Thursday at 9 with the Sabres and the Utah Hockey Club. I want to thank our crew, TJ Luckman, our network producer, Kyle Powell on our social media. You can check out his game story, WGR550.com. Paul Hamilton, our reporter, Shope the Bulldog on the pregame. Tom Maddie is our engineer. And for Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, our game announcers, I'm Brian Kulziel. Thank you for listening. Sabres win 3-2 in overtime in Boston. We'll talk to you Thursday night with Buffalo and Utah as the road trip continues right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
This is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.